You can try in your own strength to summon faith. But the best we can do won't cut it with the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. When you meet God, when He shows up, maybe in a church service where you were hearing the gospel preached and the bells just rang, the light bulbs came on, the computer rebooted, you know, all the metaphors and pictures we could... You came alive. The dead man woke up and you saw it for the first time. You saw, I am a sinner who has to do with a holy God. And He has provided a Savior for my sins. And when you see that, that is the eye of faith. You have encountered the living God and He has revealed truth to you. Faith is the response to that. Faith sees that. Paul said that we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. He said we walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. So when you meet God, you see it, and everything is different. Faith grabs hold of what God shows you, what God tells you, and never lets go. This is biblical faith. This is true saving faith. Do you have it? Have you met God? Oh, I pray that you will meet Him for the first time this morning or once again. You know, when we gather around the preaching of God's Word, anything is possible. I have high hopes this morning. I have great expectations. I believe when the church comes together, Jesus said He's going to be here with us. And so if you have need, hope in the Lord today. Ask Him to speak to you. Even now, begin to pray that through His Word this morning, He will speak, that faith will come to you this morning, that life would come as you believe. So, Hebrews 11 gives us some examples of what this looks like in real life. Examples of Old Testament saints who believed God. They met God. Their lives were changed forever. We've made it down to verse 23. We've been looking at Abraham as a great example of faith. Today we're going to look at Moses. And next week as well. I'm not in a big hurry to finish chapter 11. I think this is such a unique and awesome chapter because we can deal with Old Testament passages in their New Testament meaning through the lens and filter of Jesus Christ, what they mean today especially so. So if you would, we're going to see today faith fears God and treasures God. Faith fears God and treasures God. Read with me the text. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they what? They what? They saw. Faith sees. Do you see it? Faith sees. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Wow. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as what? Seeing him who is invisible, seeing the invisible God. Wow. This is quite a text. One of the brothers texted me yesterday a couple of these verses and said, I'm so excited to get together and hear this preached tomorrow. This is an amazing text. And we see that faith, first of all, sees. Now, we've already preached about this. We looked back in verse 1. Faith sees the unseen. But today, we see it lived out in the life of a real person. That's helpful for me. We get theological principles. We need those. But to apply them in real life, that's key. So we've learned that faith sees the unseen. If you look back in chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the conviction of things not seen. If you look down in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Noah saw the flood before it started raining. God showed him. Faith sees. And he built an ark for 120 years, changed his life, saved his family. Wow. Down in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having what? Seen them and greeted them from afar. That is faith. Faith sees the unseen. There's three instances of people seeing something in our text this morning about Moses. First of all, Moses' parents saw something different about their baby. It says that, let me back up in case you missed Sunday school in your youth and you don't know about what happened in the book of Exodus. God's people Israel had gone into slavery in Egypt. And they began to multiply like God promised Abraham they would. Lots of babies. And they were filling up the land of Egypt, and the Pharaoh began to see that this people, they're going to outnumber us soon. And if they join with our enemies, this is a threat to our nation, to our security. So he made a decision, a very ruthless decision. He told the midwives that if they give birth to a male child, throw him in the river. But these midwives, the Bible said, feared God and not the king. And so they didn't do it. And so Pharaoh got mad and he made a rule throughout the whole land. Whenever a Hebrew has a baby, if it's a boy, throw him in the Nile River, throw him to the crocodiles, whoever you are. The parents were responsible to obey the king's rule. Now, nobody would want to obey that, whether you had faith or not, right? That is just parental love. An atheist who has no honor towards God or even a belief in a God would still not want to throw their child in the river. And so this is pointing us to something beyond just parental love. Again, every parent would want to protect their child. But what we're told is that they saw something about Moses. They saw that the child was beautiful. That's what it says in Exodus as well. Now, that's just the ordinary word for beautiful, for a good-looking baby. And most mamas think their babies are beautiful, right? Few of the dads too. Other people might not think the baby looks that great. A little purple color, cone-shaped head. What is this? But mama says that's my baby, right? So this is normal. So I think the text here, and most Bible scholars down through the centuries agree that there is something is implied here. That Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, they went beyond just the normal, oh, isn't he cute? They saw something uncommon about Moses. Now, we don't know how much they knew, but God was at work in mama and daddy because God had a plan for this baby. Now, not every Hebrew boy was spared. All of them thought their babies were beautiful, but only this child was rescued. God had a plan. And he showed these parents something. By faith, they said, there's something about this child. Faith sees the unseen. God showed them something about this child. Let me read you what a few Bible scholars say. William Lane says that the child was uncommonly striking. That's how he translates that word, beautiful. John Calvin said they saw some mark of future excellency imprinted on the child, which gave promise of something extraordinary. That something about the baby showed them that there was a future for this child. And Richard Phillips concludes that the mom and dad had faith that the Lord had given them a special child. God had chosen that baby to be the rescuer of Israel from Egypt, and somehow Moses' parents saw something of that by faith. Faith sees. That is the work of God in the parents. Now, this is not the heart of what this text is about, but can I quickly say something about parents having faith and passing it to their children? Several commentators kind of bring that out. You can't put faith in your child. You can't make them believe in God, can you? But God works through ordinary means, means of grace. God works through the preaching of the gospel, for instance. And so, parents, if you want your children to have faith in God, there are some things that you can do. You can't make them. You can't ensure that they're going to grow up to be a believer. They must believe in the Lord, right? They're going to stand before God one day, and mom and daddy's not going to be holding their hands. Kids, are you listening? You may have Christian parents or grandparents, family members, but one day when you die or when the Lord comes, you will stand before the Lord, and you must believe on that day. Your mom and dad won't be there. You can't tell God, I'm okay because my grandpa was a Christian or my mom was a Christian. Children, do you have faith? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Mom and dads, you can't make your children believe, but you know what you can do? You can get them into the gathering of the church. You can raise them up in your home, speaking the word of God to them. Amen? Especially dads, you're called to lead in this. Now, if there's not a dad who's leading, mamas, jump in there. Amen? Teach the Word of God to your children. Read it to them. Have a family worship time. Turn the TV off. Amen? And the Xbox and the PlayStation and your phone. Now, mom and dad, we have to lead by example here. Put your phone down. Mom and dad. Oh, that hurt. And your iPad and your Kindle and all of these things, put them down and open a Bible. A real Bible that has pages. It'd be great. Show your kid that, you know, everything in the world is not in a screen. Open a Bible and read it and pray and sing. You say, I'm not a singing family. Are you a believer? He put a new song in our heart. It might sound terrible. Your neighbors may call the cops. But sing to the Lord. Worship as a family. Mom and dad, your parent, your children see whether this is real or not. They can see the fruit or the lack of fruit. They know if this is a sham. You know, wake up on Sunday, we're going to go to church, shine up, wash behind your ears, look good for everybody. But when we get home, it's nothing. They see. They know. You can't make your children believe, but you can lead by example. Your children can see you living by faith. You know, there'll be times when God provides for you, mom and dad, to pay a bill. You didn't know how it was going to work out, and God just graciously provided for you. You know what you need to do? Call your kids around the table and tell them, we prayed about this need, and God answered our prayer. Let them see you living by faith. Amen? We don't know how much Amram and Jochebed were able to impart to Moses because they're going to give him up at an early age. But he was able to be nursed by his mama until he was weaned. And in biblical times, sometimes that happened. Age 3, age 4, age 5. So Moses was in mama's house and daddy's house long enough to hear the truth that we are the Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham, and God has promised that we are His special people. Little Moses saw his mom and dad exercising faith, and in a minute we're going to read where he grew up, and he didn't fear the king, just like mama and daddy didn't fear the king. It's the same thing in here. I think one little lesson, it's not the main focus of this passage, But I don't get to preach on this a whole lot, so mamas and daddies, we're going to spend a quick moment here. When your kids see you walking in faith, what a blessing to them. And Paul said something of this nature about Timothy. Look at what he said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. He said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am sure it dwells in you as well. So you can't make your children believe, but you can preach the gospel to them. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Amen? So that's a good word, isn't it? That's a good encouragement for us. You know, let me just say this, and this is not guilt and condemnation. But years and years ago, there was a dad who was concerned about his daughter. And he came to the elders of the church, and he said, you know, my daughter is on a path away from God, and I'm concerned about her. And so we had prayer and we encouraged him to continue to lead her and speak truth to her. And then we didn't see this guy for about a month. And we finally got a hold of this guy and we said, what's going on? We miss you at church. And, you know, we're praying about your daughter. And he said, oh, well, we went to the lake for I don't know, it was 4 or 5 Sundays or something. And, you know, guys, I'm not legalistic. It's not about rules. And, it, you know, you miss a Sunday, you don't lose your salvation. You know what I mean? But what are you teaching to your kids? You're concerned about their soul? This guy was thinking his daughter was on a path away from the Lord, going to go to hell. And yet he would not bring her to church. Yeah, you can get saved outside of a church building. But is that kind of weird to you too? You know, things like sports. Things that, you know, that these things that can come up and they can take our... We can show our kids that there's something more important than God and His people if we're not careful. And so if you want your kids to be saved, man, live it out in your own home, but put them in the people of God. It's not your family versus the church. It's your family in the church. They shouldn't be, you know, well, I can't go to church. I got family time. No, you know, have family time on Saturday. And then bring your family to church on Sunday. All right? I'm trying to help you, shepherd you. Your kids are watching. So Moses' parents saw something. Faith sees. Let's look at, there's two more here where faith saw something. Moses saw something. He saw beyond pleasure and treasure. And we'll talk about this more in a minute. But Moses saw with the eye of faith. We're told in verse 26 that he was looking to the reward. Moses was looking to the reward. And we know he's not talking about a reward on this earth because he left the treasures of Egypt. He did something that only someone with faith would do. He was looking past the things of this world to the reward of God. That's the eye of faith, looking. Are you looking for the reward? Moses was looking for the reward. He was looking with the eye of faith, the spiritual eyes. He was looking for something more, something deeper, something greater, something more satisfying than the pleasures of sin and the treasures of Egypt. What a decision that was that he made. He was being raised up in the king's house. And he said, it's not enough. There's more to this life. He had it all. He could have lived it up. And yet he saw God's people suffering. And the eye of faith told Moses that there's more than me living my life for pleasures and sins and wealth. And so he stepped down and chose to go and suffer with God's people. What a thing! That is faith. That is faith. He found that what he was looking for in the Lord. Listen, some people can only see the right now pleasures and the treasures of this world, which are temporary, and they pale in comparison to the glory of God. People who are captivated by the treasures of this world have no faith. They're spiritually blind. They can't see that there's something better, something more glorious and more beautiful. So they are doomed to enjoy only the rewards of this life. You ever thought of it that way? If you don't see by faith the beauty of God. And if your heart is not captured by His glory, you will be doomed to settle for the riches and pleasures of this world, which are passing away. You think, well, you say, you know, man, the pleasure of this world sound pretty good to me. They look pretty enticing. They do for a season, don't they? But on the deathbed, at the end of your life, you say, I've wasted it. Faith comprehends that there's more. Faith perceives that there is a treasure beyond this world. And Moses saw something else in our text here, a third thing of faith seeing. It says in verse 27 that Moses endured as seeing him. So do you see it in this text? His parents saw that his child was beautiful. Moses was looking to the reward. He endured as seeing. What is Hebrews trying to tell us? Faith sees things that other people don't see. Faith has an encounter with the living God and sees truth and is changed forever. Amen? So the first thing we look at in this passage is that faith sees. That changes everything. But next, faith considers. Faith thinks about what it sees. I want you to see this in the text with me this morning. Verse 26, it says that Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Church, listen to me. Faith sees things other people don't see. We hear the Word of God. We see Christ dying on the cross. We see that God's glory is more beautiful than the pleasures of this world. But we don't just see it. We think about it. We consider it. We begin to think differently than people who don't have faith. We begin to make decisions. Oh, listen to me. Get this today. We begin to make our decisions based on what we've seen from God, not based on what this world knows and understands. We begin to live our lives differently because we think about what God has shown us. We have a new set of values. We begin to value things differently than the world. People with no faith live for money and pleasure and power. These things, well, that's all there is. There's no God. If you've not seen the beauty of God, then live it up. Live for happiness. But if you have had an encounter with God, you see that there's more than what this world is living for. You make judgments differently. When you're making a decision with your family, what you make that decision based on is, what does God say about this? How will this, you know, affect the glory of God? Will this be pleasing to God or not? People who have no faith, do you know what they base their decisions on? What will make me happy? They don't factor in, what does God say about it? What will please God? What has God said in His Word? What is God calling me to do? Their decisions are based only on what will make me happy. Now, if you're here and you say, wait a second, that's how I make my decisions. I thought I had faith, but when I make a family decision or a personal decision, I never think about God's glory. I just do what makes me happy. Then please know that God is calling you this morning. He is showing you something. Red flags should be going up in your heart that perhaps you don't have biblical saving faith. Maybe you're deceived. Maybe you've gone to church, but you've never met God. Because when you see Him, everything's different. You live for Him. You have a new set of values. You have a new treasure. Am I making sense this morning? You see what God shows you, and then you consider that. It changes the way you think. That happened in Moses' life, we're seeing. Has it happened in yours? We think differently. We begin to understand differently from those who have no faith. We consider things from God's perspective. Now, if you look in your Bible, this word consider jumped out at me because we saw that word considered last week. Abraham considered. Look at verse 19. Hebrews 11:19. Abraham considered that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. When he was asked to sacrifice, faith sacrifices. Faith is tested. And so when God told Abraham to give up his son that he had promised him, he was willing to do it because he considered, you see, faith thinks about it from God's perspective. Abraham considered along these lines. He said, God told me I'm going to have descendants like the stars and that they're going to come through this boy Isaac. And so if God is asking me to kill this son Isaac, God must be going to raise him from the dead because he can't lie. Faith thinks about that differently. How would a person with no faith have thought about that thing? Kill my son? Whatever. No way. We're done. Why? Because I value my son more than you, God. I don't believe you're able to do what you promised me. I must have just dreamed that you're going to... You see, faith says, yes, sir, Lord. Because I've seen some things and I think differently. Now, are we perfect? No. A lot of times we fail the test. But if we have faith, we get back up. And God, He's patient with us like a father. Amen? And He's leading us and He's developing our faith. In this text, I saw two examples of how people considered things differently from the world. Are you with me still? Faith considers things differently from people with no faith. I saw two ways that people considered, thought about things differently than the world because they had faith. They feared God and they treasured God. I think that's what this short passage wants us to understand today. When you have faith and you've seen the Lord, you will think about things differently. Your heart will be different in its values and considerations. And here's two ways you will think differently. You will fear God more than the king. You will fear God more than your friends who will laugh at you. You will fear God more than your boss who's asking you to do something unethical for the company. You will fear God and be able to be brave in dangerous circumstances on this world and take risks for the gospel because you fear God more than man. You think about things differently because you have faith. You fear God and you treasure God. You now love Him. He is your valuable. You're precious. He is your treasure. He's what you hold dear more than the things of this world. Let's look at those things. First, the fear of God. Faith fears God. Faith fears God. You say, I don't want to talk about fearing God. People don't like the concept of fearing God. But listen, brothers and sisters, the God of the Bible is to be feared. When you have seen God through faith, you've seen something of His greatness. God is not your boyfriend, you know. God is not your best bud in the sense, yes, He's intimate with us, but He's God. Does that make sense? God wants us close. There's intimacy, but there's also fear. And I think some believers tend towards one of these. Matt Redman had a song called The Friendship and the Fear, and it's both. You've got to be growing in your friendship with God, but never forget that He's God Almighty, and He is to be feared. You don't joke about His name, you know? You fall on your face before Him. This is what we see in the Bible. Paul said this. Paul was, can I say, tight with God? Paul was called by Jesus on the road to Damascus. He walked with God. Wrote 13 books of the Bible. He heard from God. He's close to God. And in 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul said, knowing then the terror of the Lord, we try to persuade men. Yeah, Paul, who knew the Lord, he walked with Jesus, and he said, I know the terror of the Lord. The terror of Jesus. Man alive. You ever read the book of Revelation? Who is it that's popping the seals on that scroll and pouring out wrath on the world? It is the Lamb. They said they're hiding under rocks, guys, and crying out, who will save us from the wrath of the Lamb? It's not Jesus is my homeboy. We're close. We love Him. But He's the Lamb of God who's going to pour out wrath and judgment one day. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a reverence. There's a respect. It's like the ocean. Have you ever been at the ocean? You ever looked out at the ocean? On one hand, it's beautiful. And you can enjoy the experience of it. We were down in Galveston a few weeks ago, and little Eli, you know, he was down there, and he would just get up to about his knee, and he would hop over those waves. You should have seen him. He thought he was something. He wasn't looking at those really big ones out here, you know. He's got these little ones. You know, look at me, Daddy. He's enjoying the ocean. And I let him, and you know, but I kept my eye on him, and I kept him at arm's length. Not to my wife's satisfaction, always. Don't let him out of arm's length. Why? Why don't you let a little kid... Why do you not let a little kid go off into the ocean by themselves? I mean, it's beautiful. You can enjoy it. But why? It'll kill you. That undertow's no joke, is it? It'll suck you way out there before I can get there. There's sharks up in there, jellyfish, and you know, the Bible talks about Leviathan, sea creatures. I don't know. It's both beautiful and fearsome. That's our Lord. He's beautiful. He's our friend when we know salvation. And yet, He is the Almighty. Wow. That's something, isn't it? The Bible even talks about fear as a way of worshiping God. I want to show you a scripture in Revelation 14 and 15. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy." That is what we've lost in the church and worship a lot of times. When we focus just on the friendship and we forget who it is that we're worshiping. Who will not fear Him? Wow. One day every knee will bow. People without faith in God do not tremble before Him. Am I telling the truth? People without faith do not tremble before God. They laugh it off. But we who have seen the Lord, we don't laugh at Him. We tremble at His word. Back in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We see some instances of people fearing God in our text this morning. That's one way we consider things differently than the world. We fear God. Other people won't fear God, but the people who see Him fear Him. The first we saw was that Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's edict. What does that imply? It implies that they feared God more than Pharaoh, the king who ordered them to throw their child in the Nile River. They feared God more than the king. Because they had faith. They considered God more than what the king says. And then Moses ended up acting like his parents. Not being afraid of the anger of the king, Moses left Egypt in the Exodus. When we fear God more than man, faith enables us to be brave in the face of earthly threats and dangers. And take risks for the kingdom. I don't have time to go through all the people throughout church history who have gone onto the mission field when their parents and their friends and family laughed at them and said, "You're going to get killed out there." Have you ever tried to do something for the Lord and people tried to talk you out of it because it's not safe? Yes, there's a such thing as having wisdom. I understand that. You don't go and lay down on the train tracks, you know, to witness to people who are walking by. I mean, you got to be wise. However, when you see God, when you fear Him, when His kingdom has dawned in your heart, you will be able to go take risks. And you know what? If you die pouring out yourself for the gospel in a foreign land, Paul said, that's gain. To die is gain. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, maybe if God's calling you, stirring things up in you that one day you'll go, short term or long term, don't be afraid. But obey the Lord. Fear Him more than man. Jesus encouraged us to do that. Matthew 10:28, He said, I'll tell you who to fear. Don't fear man who can just kill your body. Fear God who can kill your body and then throw your soul into hell. Jesus said that. Fear God. We hadn't got to chapter 12 in Hebrews yet, but when you do, it's going to say that at the Mount Sinai, when God showed up in the cloud to give the Ten Commandments, it says that Moses, it says in 12:21, it says, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Wow. And Paul in Romans 3, when he's listing the sins, that all of us are under sin, he sums up his whole big thing about sin as saying there is no fear of God before their eyes. If you don't have faith, you don't fear God. Faith fears God. But listen, there's another one in our text I told you. Faith not only fears God, but faith treasures God. That is what the main focus is in our text today, the treasure. Steve read from Matthew 13 earlier in our service about the man. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure in a field, and he covered it back up, and because of his joy, he went home and sold everything he had and bought that field. He wanted that treasure more than everything else he owned. That is what the kingdom of God is like. When you see the Lord, your heart is captured. He's got your heart. And you see the beauty of God that other people don't see. You see the glory of the cross. Other people say, what's so, you know, awesome about the cross? A man dying, blood pouring out. You might see a movie like The Passion of the Christ. You see all of this treatment of a man in history. If you don't have faith, that means nothing to you. Or maybe it's just a sentimental thing of, oh, Jesus loved us to let Him do that to Him for us. But faith goes beyond that. Faith sees God stepping into the body of a man, becoming flesh so that He could die for our sins on the cross and be raised up to bring us to be with God forever. So that the cross is at the same time gruesome and beautiful. That's why we sing about it. We write poetry and hymns about the cross because we've seen it. And now we can't treasure this stuff anymore. God's people can't be greedy for very much longer after they become a Christian because the power of the pull of the stuff of this world is broken. We have seen a greater treasure. We fear God because we consider things differently, and we treasure God. Let me show it to you. We respond to God in faith-filled delight. Let me tell you this morning, people do not worship God because they do not love God. And people do not love God because they do not know God. Let me say that again. People don't worship Him because they don't love Him. And they don't love Him because they've never seen Him. But when we meet Him through the preaching of the gospel, we see Him and we love Him and we worship Him. We begin to understand that God is the great treasure who satisfies our souls eternally. And we're willing to give up all that we have to follow Him. Look at the examples in our text this morning. Moses enjoyed God, not sin. Did you see that? In verse 25. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He renounced his position of royalty. Choosing. Faith chooses. Faith has to make some hard decisions. Faith in Moses caused him to choose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. That's amazing. You don't have faith, you will never do that. I'll take the royalty every time. But when I've seen something by faith, guys, It's a no-brainer. I'm going to die and stand before God. What will this royalty do me then? Have you given up the things of this world because you've seen the greater treasure of God? Does He thrill your soul? Maybe He used to, and you've lost it. Repent this morning. Cry out to Him this morning. God, open my eyes. Show me the beauty of the cross. I'm choosing sin because I've taken my eyes off of Your beauty and Your glory. Man, when your eyes are on Him, sin doesn't look as good. Amen? Moses could not enjoy sin because he was too busy enjoying God. You know there's pleasures in God? I want to show you. Psalm 16:11. What a beautiful verse. In Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You think I can't come to God because I'm going to miss out on the stuff of this world. Temporary delights that end in death. Sin will be pleasurable for a moment, guys. Children, listen to me. Yes, there's sin out there that feels good for a little while, but it will only bring destruction to your life. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your family. You know any marriages that were destroyed because someone chose sin? Pleasures of this world? Families ripped apart? Local church families who fight over money and stuff? We've got our eyes on this world. And we've lost the main idea of what we're here for. And churches torn and battled, ripped apart. Why? Because of the things of this world and the pleasures of sin that don't last forever. But faith looks beyond that and sees that there is a treasure. There's a reward that is more beautiful, more satisfying than anything in this world. And God has to give us new glorified bodies just so we can handle the pleasures of heaven. God is going to give us bodies that won't wear out, that won't die, that won't get sick, just so we can handle the pleasures of being in His presence and knowing Him and being satisfied. Which of those pleasures are you living for? Moses was willing to walk away from the pleasures of sin because he saw the Lord. And we've already talked about this. He enjoyed God, not sin, and he treasured God, not wealth. He considered that the reproach of Christ was greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Only faith considers things that way, guys. He was willing to identify with God's people. Faith sees, faith considers. There's one last one. Faith acts. Faith has to act on what it has seen and what it has thought about. Are you still with me? I'll try to hurry, guys. I'm getting long here. Faith sees truth from God. Faith values things differently. I've seen Him, so now He's my treasure. I fear Him. I see it. I consider it. Now I got to go act on it. Faith must act. Faith without works is dead. Faith must act on it. Were there any people in our short little text this morning who acted on their faith? Did you find any? Who acted on their faith? In this text this morning, Moses' parents, they hid their son. They could have said all day long, I believe in God. I believe God's promises are for His people. But if they would have turned their kid over to the authorities, if they had not acted on their faith, it would have meant nothing. You can say you have faith, but are you acting on it? They hid their child for 3 months. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. What else? Who else acted on their faith in our text this morning? Moses did. Moses identified with God's people. Moses' faith caused him to identify with God's people. It says, by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to be mistreated with the people of God. With the people of God. Who are you going to hang out with, Moses? You got the people of Egypt over here, place of royalty and wealth and sin that you can enjoy. Well, here's a people over here. They're slaves. They're getting their backs whipped and building houses for the Pharaoh. They say they have a God who's given them some promises, but they've been slaves for 400 years. Where is their God? What kind of God is that who would allow his people to be slaves for 400 years? Looks like an easy choice, Moses. Who are you going to identify with? Who are you going to run with? Who are you going to hang out with? Which people will be your people? Faith must choose. Faith must act. He didn't make the no-brainer choice that people of this world would have chosen. He left the riches to go be a slave with his people because he believed that God had chosen that people and he was going to bring them out of there. And he believed that God had called him to do something about it. Guys, which people are you going to identify with? The world or the church? Faith connects with the church. Faith identifies with God's people even when they don't look too pretty. I mean, they were slaves. A lot of people today say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. That is unbiblical. That is unscriptural. If you love the head, you're going to love the body. If you love the groom, you're going to love his bride. If you love Jesus, you're going to love his church. You say, well, the church hurt me. The church is not perfect. The church has sin. I don't like the way they run things. They're wrong on this doctrine. You're not going to find the perfect church yet. Guys, we're still on this earth. But find one that preaches Jesus and loves the truth and connect with them. If you've got faith, go get with God's people and say, I don't care if they look like slaves now. I know what they're going to look like later. Amen? When the glory comes. Moses identified. His faith caused him to identify with God's people. Man alive. Psalm 16:3, David said this, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The saints are my excellent ones in whom is all my delight. People without faith don't love the church. They don't see the beauty and the glory of it. Bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, we got problems in the church. But Jesus died for his church. He loves us. And he's not going to stop with us till we shine with his glory like the sun in the kingdom of God. Can you look with the eyes of faith? Look to what the church is going to be. What else did Moses act on with his faith? He refused to enjoy sin. We've talked about that. His faith made him turn away from sin. Faith brings repentance. Repentance. It's the same for us today. If you have the Lord, you can't give yourself to sin. You'll stumble in it, but you'll get back up and say, this is not who I am. I don't want this sin. Lord, have mercy on me. I fight it. I'm turning from it. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to give it a place in my life. I'm not going to give myself to the pursuit of sin. I'm going to give myself to the pursuit of God. And when I stumble, he's going to bring me back up. Amen? This is how faith acts towards sin. And the last one, verse 27, Moses endured in his calling. Did you see that? Look at verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was used by God to bring the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea, through the wilderness. Now listen to me. Moses had a place of leadership and ministry, and it was hard. Israel didn't really appreciate Moses too much. Have you ever read the books of the Torah, the Old Testament? How did they treat Moses, guys? They complained. They demanded that Moses meet all their cravings. We want meat. We don't like this bread God's given us. Moses, give us something to drink. Who am I? Am I God? Lord, I didn't give birth to these people. Have mercy on me. You see, how could Moses keep doing it for 40 years with these whiners and complainers? He endured as seeing him who is invisible. I thought I would get an amen on that. How can you put up with imperfect Christians for about 40 years in your life in a local church? But they're going to hurt me. Well, forgive them. Okay? How can you do that? That's hard. How can I keep, giving myself to the people of God? I'm busy. You know, when you keep looking to God, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Some of you, if God's called you to ministry or called you, you've got a place in the church, you've got a gift, you can endure even if nobody appreciates what you're doing. Because your eyes are on God, not them. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it to the Lord, right? Amen? You're doing it all thing. I mean, yeah, we're doing it for each other, but ultimately it's to the Lord. So that when people let me down, I'm not leaving the church because I wasn't here for them. I'm here for the Lord, right? My eyes are on Jesus so I can endure. Somebody asked Pastor Terry Simpson a few years ago, ask him that a lot, I think. How is it there's pastors who drop out of ministry every day? Have you ever seen any statistics? Pastors give up. You get old, you get jaded, you get hurt. Nobody cares. Lord, I'm not making a difference. Whatever. People run you off. Fill in the blank. How can you keep doing it? You've been in ministry 40, 50 years. How can you keep doing it with joy in your heart? And he said, it's my relationship with the Lord. I'm walking with God. My eyes are on Him. If I stop praying and worshiping God in my secret place, I'm done for. Man, that taught me a lot. It's not just for preachers, by the way. He endured as seeing the invisible God. The last thing I just want to point out in closing is that, did you notice that it said that Moses considered the reproach of Christ as greater wealth than Egypt? It said Christ. Christ wasn't born in Moses' day. About 1,500 years later, Jesus was born. How did Moses know anything about Christ? He considered the reproach of Christ greater than the wealth of Egypt. Well, Moses might not have known what Jesus was going to look like. He might not have known some things here and there, but he knew that Messiah was coming. Amen? He knew God had promised through Abraham's family the world would be blessed. He knew that through God's people, Messiah would come, and he was willing to suffer for that Messiah, to take the reproach and the insult of God rather than living. Guys, I want you to know that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He didn't start to begin His life when He was born as a baby. He is the eternal God of the Old Testament and the New. Jesus is awesome. And so the reproach of Christ and suffering like Moses did, he suffered for God's people. I think that's a small picture of Jesus and how He suffered for God's people to save us from our sins. There is life in Christ. Guys, we're being called to faith. I hope you've been blessed this morning in our study of God's Word. We've learned that faith sees and faith considers and faith acts differently than the world. That we fear God and we treasure God. And so would you bow your heads together and let's respond to God's Word. Let's linger here for a moment. Faith changes what we fear and what we treasure. Changes how we live. With God set continually before our eyes, we will make choices based on His Word and His glory. That is the life of faith. Can I ask us this morning, what choices is the Lord calling you to make in faith today? Has the Holy Spirit pointed out some things that you have allowed into your life? And through the example of Moses this morning, we've seen that you got to make a choice to give yourself to sin or to give yourself to Christ and His people. Even if that's a costly choice, that'll mean suffering for you. What choices is the Lord calling us to make in faith? We say we love His glory. Do our lives show that? Or are we living for the treasure of this world just like everybody else who don't believe? Where is the difference in what we treasure? When our neighbors look at our lives and they see what we're all about, is there anything different that would speak to them and show them that there's more to this life than what they're living for? They see that we have seen something that has changed us, satisfied us at the deepest parts of our soul. That our treasure is not money and stuff, but Christ and His people and His kingdom and His cause. What fear does God want you to overcome today because you fear God more than this world? Fear of man. Are you crippled by fear? God wants you to see things differently. Don't fear the king. Don't fear this thing that has kept you from doing what you need to do. Give it to the Lord. Fear Him. Fear Him. You don't have to fear the devil. You don't have to fear man. Fear the Lord. Oh God, our Savior, we tremble at Your word this morning. You have spoken to us in this Scripture. Holy Spirit, we ask You to just breathe life on this word and make us to come alive. We don't want to just hear about faith and learn about faith. We want to have faith in You. We want an encounter with the living God. Speak to us and give us faith. Show us Christ. Show us the treasure, oh God. Lord, I cry out to You this morning for any in this place whose hearts are consumed with the things of this world, whose hearts are delighting in temporary things, the fleeting pleasures of sin, the wealth of this world. God, would You do a work in our hearts today? Just show us in a moment, God. Show us in a moment the surpassing beauty of Christ, the glory of the cross, the wonder of our God. You are infinitely valuable, God, more than anything. Let us give ourselves to You and Your cause, identifying with Your people, enduring with our eyes on You. God, forgive us when greed comes in and when the pleasures of sin entice us. You know our frailty, O God. Prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. But our hope is not in our ability, but in our Savior, Jesus. That You died for all of our greed and our lusts of this flesh. You died for the sin that so easily entangles us. You conquered it on the cross, Jesus. And the penalty that was on us, You have taken it off of us, and our sins You have removed as far as the east is from the west. Lord, You have given us clean hearts. You have washed us and renewed us through the blood of Jesus by Your Spirit. And You call us to get back up and walk, to lean on You, to set You before our eyes, to see the invisible God through faith. Lord, captivate our hearts by Your glory. Transform us by the renewing of our minds.